Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen, a man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
That shows you that I think this playoffs is going to be one of the most unpredictable we've seen in a long time. Tell me who the favorite is right now. The Super Bowl. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know who it is either. Matt, as always, we appreciate the time and the education, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. Matt Bowen and his family right there. Happy New Year to them. Matt Bowen's family was not on the line, just to clarify.
But they're there in support.
They're implied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
Merry New Year!
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
What a time to be alive and talk playoff football with Matt Bowen. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Oh, Matt, so much is going on. There's a lot of different things to talk about. We got the season as a whole. We got the Packers game coming up. We got that effort on Sunday. Let's start with the effort on Sunday. Why did they stay in man-to-man as much as they did on defense? And there's lots of crazy theories out there. You've probably heard them. Do you have any thoughts on why they stayed that way? Because, boy, Jared Goff was eating them alive.
He was. I actually just looked at the numbers. Against man coverage on Sunday, he was 17 of 30 for 228 and a touchdown. So a lot of those throws to Spiegs were rhythm throws, right? Inbreakers, crossers, over routes. That's where Goff is at his best, especially when he has a clean platform to throw the football from. Bears are not generating enough pressure. And when you play man coverage and you don't hit the quarterback, you better be really good in the secondary. And the Bears were not. Played heavy outside leverage versus a lot of in-breaking routes. And I'll tell you right now, against Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Raymond, if you allow immediate separation at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to get back in phase. That means back to the hip of the defense, you know, of the wide receiver, we can make a play on the football. Then it turns into a foot race. And what the wide receiver does is simply run away from coverage. So why do they play so much man speaks? Because against zone coverage, he was 10 of 12 for 103 yards. So... But I'll tell you, this is why I say that, Speaks, because zone coverage against a team like Detroit, heavy play action, similar to playing against Ben Johnson, there are windows to attack at the second level and the third level if you can create the coverage voids. They're excellent at that. So if you're a defensive coordinator saying, we're not going to give them those open window throws to the middle of the field, we're going to challenge them. But again, going back to my original point, to do that, you have to hit the quarterback, you have to make a player like Jared Goff move off his throwing platform, and you have to play much tighter coverage.
Man, so what do you do moving forward then? Like, how do you compensate? This is what I'm trying to figure out. If you're bad in man-to-man coverage, but you have to play it sometimes, how do you compensate? How do you compensate for being bad in it?
Well, you have to play man coverage in third and 2-6. If you play cover two or cover three, they're going to run hitch routes, they're going to run slants, they're going to run stick routes, they're going to move the chains. NFL quarterbacks are too good. You have to challenge in those situations. You have to play press, you have to get hands on wide receivers and disrupt the release to disrupt the timing of the route itself. So in those situations, you got to play man. And if I'm Dennis Allen against the Green Bay Packers in those situations, I'm playing man with pressure because right now I'm not getting home with four, so that's telling me I have to bring pressure. But in regular down and distance situations, especially 3rd and 7-10, where you're going to win or lose the football game this Saturday night, I think the Bears will have to be more zone heavy. They'll have to be disciplined in zone coverage. Their second level defenders have to get to what I call zone depth. That's usually at 10 to 12 yards in the NFL, where you can close or basically create a line across the field to close those second level windows and play top down on everything from the third level, which you're forcing the Green Bay Packers to do in that situation is take the underneath throws in 3rd and 7-10. Then it comes down to a situation where it's angle to the football and tackling. But we talked about this before, Speak. Go back to the game, what is it, week 16, was it at Lambeau, week, whatever it was at Lambeau Field, the game at Lambeau when they played man coverage, it didn't turn out well for this Bears defense.
It's interesting because Jordan Love can run, but he's not a runner. So I'm wondering, could we see a little cover two man?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I really like cover two man. But to your point, Lawrence, you have to play it against a pocket thrower. Because once he gets back past that first wave of pass rushers, there's no one home when you're playing two man. And for the listeners out there, what two man means is two deep safeties over the top, just like cover two. But instead of zone coverage underneath, everyone's playing man coverage. And it's a different man coverage. Usually heavy inside leverage, playing to the low hip. You're kind of underneath the wide receiver or tight end because you have that help over the top. So that is one answer, Lawrence, that we could see. And look, Dennis Allen historically has played a lot of two-man with his defenses.
So when I look at the issues with some of the man coverage stuff, with Jalen Johnson, I we've talked about the last 3 weeks. He just doesn't look like himself. I'm wondering if he's – maybe if he's not as quick or as sudden as he used to be, is this a game where maybe he could get a little bit more physical, make him run a bubble, and maybe help himself out? Or does that set him up for giving up an even bigger play?
I think you have to challenge him, Lawrence. I think you have to be more physical, to your point. I think that's where he's at his best. If you were to ask someone what is Jalen Johnson, I would say he's a physical coverage corner. That means he can excel in press. That means he's physical at the top of the break. That gives him an advantage because that's a physical play style he brings to the football field on Sunday. So I would be more physical in press coverage with Jalen this week. But you know what we're getting to right here. And I think this has been an issue for weeks and weeks with the Chicago defense. Who was playing in the slot on Saturday night?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, this Saturday night.
Is it Kyler Gordon that is out there?
It better be Kyler Gordon, right?
I don't think it's going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson. The way that he walked off the field was terrifying.
It was, and C.J. has really struggled in man coverage. He really has. You know, that has been part of this defense has been exposed with Kyler Gordon out is the slot targets, and especially the man coverage slot targets and getting beat on crossers and over routes that turn into explosive plays. And that's one thing you have to take away against Green Bay. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm Matt LaFleur, the first third down, when I get the Bears in man coverage, I'm throwing a deep over or a deep crosser to Christian Watson or Matthew Golden out of the slot. I'm going to say, show me you can cover this. Because if you can't, I'm going to do it all night.
All right, well, let's say this then, Matt, because this is great stuff. With Matt Bowen, let's say you don't have C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You do have a limited Kyler Gordon. You've got what we've seen of Jalen Johnson. You've got Nashawn Wright, who's made a lot of big plays but struggled with some other stuff. You've got, theoretically, a healthy Tyreek Stevenson. And you've got Nate McLeod, who didn't play, but is supposedly the backup slot corner, but didn't play. They used Jalen Jones. Hell, you've even got Josh Blackwell, who used to play there, but doesn't play there now under Dennis Allen.
And
for
Jonathan Owens.
You got Jonathan Owens and Elijah Hicks as like safety options. How do you utilize your personnel? How would you, if you're the coach of that defense, that secondary, how would you utilize your personnel on Saturday night?
I'd be very quick to make changes. If I'm Al Harris in that football game, I'm using everyone if I have to because it's win in advance, a winner and go home. So and not that I'm not going to give a player an opportunity to correct a mistake. That's poor coaching when you don't do that. You have to allow that. But to an extent, you have to find out what your best combination is for Saturday night. And it's hard to do that in practice. For example, if Gordon does play, can he open and run at 100%? Because that's going to be tested early, too. Your player coming back from injury, I'm throwing at you right away to see if you can open and run, to see if your play speed is what it's supposed to be. Because if it's not, then I'm going to keep going at you, right? So there's going to be different, I think, lineups, so to say, that Al Harris is going to have to work through and find out what is the best combination for Saturday night to beat Green Bay.
When it comes to getting a pass rush that's a little bit more dependable, I feel like over the last four games, I've watched Austin Booker be better. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been good. But I wouldn't necessarily call it consistent pressure. Where do you think that consistent pressure should come from? And is it possible for the Bears to create some with the defensive personnel that they have?
Well, you can always create pressure, Lawrence. You can stunt your fronts. You can run games up front. You can give overload looks, which Dennis Allen has done for a long time with his defensive fronts. Find ways to generate pressure and find ways, more importantly, to get the matchup you want. Is there a certain tackle you want to take advantage? Is there a certain guard you want to take advantage? Can you use Booker to loop inside against the guard and get a head start? What that means is when a defensive end twists or loops inside versus a guard, they're not used to playing in space, right? What it does, it gives them a long runway, and it forces them now to feel like they're in space. That's how you can attack the edges of a guard off a stunt. But they have to generate pressure. They have to, because if they don't, then you're looking at a situation which we talked about at the top of this, is we're leaving your defensive backs out, and they have to cover for a long time.
Our segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. And it's a little bit of breaking news. This is a big story here.
Yes, it is.
All of the NFL Bigfoots are reporting it. Adam Schefter, Jordan Schultz, and Diana Russini. John Harbaugh fired as the Ravens head coach.
After 18 years as the head coach there. The fact that game 272 of the season came down to the final seconds, and it might have ended for Mike Tomlin if it didn't end for John Harbaugh. Right. It's what a crazy ass league this is, isn't it, Matt Bowen?
It is sometimes. John Harbaugh is an excellent football coach, and I think John Harbaugh will get hired immediately. I would look at him right. I'd be calling him right now if I was a general manager who needed to make a hire because of his, you know, what he did in Baltimore in terms of the player development they had in Baltimore. What he did in terms of adapting his offense over the years, and plus what he did on defense, replacing multiple coordinators who went on to other jobs and still playing at a very high level on that side of the football. I think he's an excellent leader, an excellent CEO of your football team, and someone that if you bring into the building will be looked at as the most important person in the building. So unfortunate, but guys, we see it every year in this league.
How about the New York Giants and Jackson Dart as a fit for John Harbaugh?
Here's what's crazy about this. I understand it's, you know, this is going to sound horrible and cutthroat, but that is part of what the NFL is. There are a lot of teams who should be tempted to fire their current head coach now that John Harbaugh is available.
Right.
You know what they should do? They should send Jed Hoyer down there to knock on the door and say, I know you thought you were safe, but we all of a sudden John Harbaugh's available. We got a little something-something for you.
Matt, I wanted to get back to the Packers. I wanted to ask you a Packers like specific question. I saw a couple of things on Matthew Golden. And it forced me to go back and watch some tape on Matthew Golden. Why aren't the Packers using him more? Because his win rate is really high.
Right, right. It's interesting. I had this discussion the other day with just how hard this league is for young players. And we don't get to see everything, right? As we get to see what happens on Sundays. We're not there through the course of the week. We're not there during practice. We don't know what's being asked of a certain player within a certain offensive or defensive system. In terms of the responsibilities outside just catching passes, right? There's so much more that goes into the game at the wide receiver position. But to your point, Lawrence, I agree with you because he can get open. He's a three-level route runner. You saw that in his college tape. Everyone knows he can stretch defenses vertically, but he's a very good player at the top of the break and creating separation back to the football as well. And this has been something with Green Bay. And you can say about Chicago this year, too, how many different targets they have in the pass game. I think that's a sign of a very good offense. But that's one player, if I'm going into this game, I would still have to account for because of what he can do in terms of the vertical speed down the field.
They scare me when Jordan Love is healthy and in a good place because he will use everybody. He'll use Bo Melton. He'll use Jaden Reed. Yep. He will use, I mean, Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson changes them. And I mean, they got a lot of dudes and they will use everybody. Should they be doing more games up front? Like they got Austin Booker and Grady Jarrett got there with a stunt and maybe they've been doing it a lot and I just haven't noticed, Matt.
You're talking about the Bears defensively?
Yeah, talking about the Bears front four and trying to get pressure.
There was a little bit. They did a little stunt.
And they got there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Dennis Allen's got to be creative maybe with that stuff.
I think Dennis Allen does. I think Jeff Hafley does as well in Green Bay. Because right now, if you're talking about the Packers and what their issues are, without Micah Parsons, they are not rushing the passer, obviously, at the same rate. And I think that puts their corners in a position where you can attack them. Hey, look, when you have Micah Parsons in the football field, your defensive backs are going to play at a higher rate because the ball has to come out. But when he's not in the football field, like we talked about, you're in coverage longer, you can be exposed. And right now, that's the issue for Green Bay as well, is how do they get to Caleb Williams? And different with Caleb Williams because he can move. He can extend plays. He's a natural playmaker once he gets outside of structure. So, again, you have to contain him and force him to throw from the pocket. Much easier to do that when you have Micah Parsons, and Green Bay obviously does not.
Let's flip over to the Bears' offensive line for a second. They lost quite a bit more than we're usually seeing them lose against Detroit. Now, there weren't as many shifts. There weren't as many motions. Like, maybe it was kind of a vanilla game plan by Ben Johnson. What did you see when it came to how the Lions were able to win some of those one-on-one battles?
Well, to your point, Lawrence, it's a great question. Did the Bears run a game plan that was just built for to get through Week 18? I can't answer that. Only Ben Johnson can. But I did notice a lot less movement than we've seen in the past. I always go back to the Philadelphia game and the movement they had pre-snap, which I thought was one of Ben Johnson's best game plans of the season. It didn't feel the same this past Sunday. Now, there could be multiple reasons for that, and we could speculate that they're saving stuff for Green Bay. We don't know that. But I think you have to have that going into the Green Bay game. Because I think that's where the Bears and Ben Johnson are at their best, is when they force defenses to play with much more focus, eye discipline, when they force second-level defenders to hesitate, when they can pull defenders out of throwing lanes based on what they're doing pre-snap and forcing them to shift. So I think you'll see more of that on Saturday night, and I think that does protect your offensive line more.
Matt, it's such a great time of year. What other game are you looking forward to the most of this weekend other than Bears-Packers?
I think Buffalo-Jacksonville is very interesting to me. Just because you look at Buffalo right now, and if you look at the playoff field in general, I think Josh Allen is the biggest difference maker right now in the National Football League in terms of what teams are playing for a championship. And what worries me about Buffalo is their defense. They, you know, they lack high-end team speed in the secondary. They're very foundational in their coverage approaches, a lot of split safety coverage and zone heavy. And I want to see how Trevor Lawrence plays against that, and especially what Liam Cohen can do, the Jaguars head coach. So I'll tell you what, he has Trevor Lawrence playing his best football as a professional athlete this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Neither conference has a quarterback who has ever won a playoff game among their top two seeds. Bo Nix, Drake May, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams. So like it's a crazy, crazy year in terms of all that.
It is. It's wide open. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I asked who the favorite is, and I think you can still ask that question. If you look at Seattle right now, that defense is outstanding. Okay, I still think when you look at the quarterback position in Sam Darnold, still, especially late in the down, he has a tendency to make poor decisions with the football. Okay, so you look at every team, the Los Angeles Rams, we know what they are offensively. We know about their defensive front seven. You can go after players in that Rams secondary right now. So there is not a team in this playoff tournament that doesn't have a flaw or an area you can expose, and I think that makes it even more wide open.
Matt, as always, we love it when we get to talk ball with you. Thanks so much for jumping on and breaking everything down.
All right, guys, go Bears.
That is Matt Bowen.
So, boy, the John Harbaugh news is massive. This guy who went to college in the state of Ohio, does he want to go
take the Cleveland job?
Take the Cleveland job with a high draft pick? Does he want to go work for Tom Brady in
Vegas?
In Vegas
with the number one pick?
With the number one pick and get his choice of Mendoza or Chambliss if he comes out, or whoever the hell else he wants? Like, does he want to go to the Giants? Does he want to take a year and go on walkabout? You know,
I mean, like, if you're the Jets,
fire Aaron Glenn to get John Harbaugh.
I'm just saying that there are a couple of places where I would go. Yeah, if you're Atlanta, does that now become the front runner for your job in Atlanta? Is that guy? Does he want to go to Arizona and work with Kyler Murray? Like, there's no place he could go that it would be a bad hire.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, because Raheem Morris got fired, and that's going to be Matt Ryan as the kingpin right there.
And they got all sorts of talent.
Yeah, they got crazy amounts of talent. And
it's the NFC South. You can win it next year with John Harbaugh as your head coach.
It's crazy.
I guess in the power struggle, Lamar won. If you believe that there was a power struggle, then Lamar won. Unless, of course, they trade him too. Like, that's possible as well. There are some people who believe that he is destined to be traded to Miami, and that Mike McDaniel's system fits him perfectly, and he could go back home and go play for the Dolphins.
God.
This is what I was saying. Yeah. That game Sunday night, one of those franchises were going to be ever changed by the way that happened at the end. Because if the Steelers would have lost, it probably means Aaron Rodgers retires.
Yeah, that's why I wanted the Ravens so bad. I did.
What? You wanted to get your mans up out of here.
I want to be done with his narcissistic, manipulative, just is incredible, problematic ass. I wanted to be done with it.
Fair enough.
But we are not.
We're not. And we don't care. And you know what's great about it? You're not worried about your coach.
No.
You, the Bears fan, are not sitting there going, you know what the Bears should do? Hey, should fire Matt Eberflus and hire John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You got your guy.
Tell me, our January 6th hit with Matt Bowen contained no content on who they should draft. Not one question about that. Nope. We got other things to worry about.
We can talk to him about that in a few weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. How about a month?
That would be...
Wouldn't that be nice?
Caleb said that they got a month of football left to play.
Speaking of Caleb, let's put his year into focus. And there's something very cool about a Caleb comp. Because one of the comps that really has some legs when you think about it, the guy he was comped to has now spoken about the comp.
Ooh.
Now how much would you pay?
It's next on The Score.
It's coming. It's blocked. Williams going in. Nothing fancy. Here's Walker just running a post. It's cover four. The near safety bites down on the underneath player. And then Amik Robertson has to try to play over the top of that. But he recognizes it late. And Caleb sees it right off the bat. You game plan for that coverage, for that route. He got exactly what he wanted. And that was great execution.
You saw that graphic on that last touchdown. Caleb Williams, a single season. Best season in passing Bears history, passing Eric Kramer.
Usually you say with a quarterback, particularly a mobile quarterback, make him go to his left. He's as comfortable rolling to his left, flipping his hips.
Komet?
Yes.
That deep
he's,
post.
You know what he is? He's, for me, he's John Elway from my generation.
That was Howie Long several weeks ago. And that's aged really well, I think. Howie Long's comp of Caleb Williams as John Elway for this generation. Guy who can run an awful lot. Guy whose completion percentage is not as high as some of his contemporaries. But, oh boy, does he have a knack for making big plays late in the fourth quarter and such. And I think that's aged really well from Howie Long.
I got another piece of breaking NFL news.
Okie doke.
The Lions announced today that they have parted ways with offensive coordinator John Morton.
Okay, so Ben Johnson's replacement has been fired, and Dan Campbell finds somebody else. Maybe somebody he actually trusts to call plays, so he doesn't have to do it.
It's, you know what's hilarious and also adorable, because we all go through it, everyone's eyesight gets worse? It's watching Dan Campbell with his readers.
I know.
As he's doing, looking at his play call, he's I didn't get my readers on.
He should get those ones that you wrap around your neck and they're in two different parts, and then you throw them up on your head and they magnetize together.
And they connect.
Yeah.
There's a hot, interesting name that like a lot of league people were telling me about that maybe could be a good fit for that OC job up in Detroit.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron. What do you think? No?
I'd love to see that. Love to
bring
see
the
Shane Waldron.
The Shane Waldron curse to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'll tell you this much. Get your hands off Declan Doyle. You know, you do not let that man.
I don't think that everyone keeps talking about Declan Doyle hired away. And I'm like, He doesn't call plays.
Yeah. Where's Shane Waldron right now, Tanny? Do you know?
He's coaching Michigan. Breaking it. Just announced.
No. He's the passing game coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
He's a playoff coach.
Yeah, take that. Yeah, don't I look foolish now?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence wasn't unlocked till he got there.
That's right.
Liam Cohen loves him some Shane Waldron.
But you know what?
That makes sense.
It really does.
It does.
Couple of goofballs hanging out.
It completely makes sense.
All right, so look, John Elway comped to Caleb Williams. What does John Elway think about being comped to Caleb Williams? On Club Shay Shay, he was
Howie Long said Caleb Williams is this generation's John Elway.
You know, he's coming on.
He is. He's unbelievable.
He's coming on. He's doing better. You know, and the one thing, he's moving around. He's not, decision-making is getting better. And I think he is a great player. You know, it's like anything. He's still young. He's not, you know, to me, in watching him, the few games that I've watched him, he's not hitting the ones he should hit every time.
Right.
Right. The easy ones, the ones that, you know, the square outs, the hitches.
Yes.
Those type balls that you got to target every time.
Right.
That he's still a little, but that'll come
right.
That'll come with maturity and.
But that throw that he made against Green Bay in overtime.
Oh my God!
The one that he made a couple of weeks earlier, where he threaded and needed through two guys, and his guy catches it. I mean, he can his ability to throw on the move.
And the one thing that I believe this too, Shannon, is that as a quarterback to be great in the NFL, you have to be able to win it from the pocket.
Yes.
You got to be able to make the throws from the pocket. Now, the addition of movement and creating new, you know, creating big plays,
yes.
Extending plays, that is all an added bonus.
Right.
But to be able to be great, and that's where that's where Caleb, I think, is getting a lot better.
Right.
Because in college, he's such a better athlete than anybody. He can do whatever he wants, run around right. all over the place, right? But he seems to be getting more comfortable staying in that pocket. Ben Johnson's keeping him in there a little bit when he's making those throws. And then the added bonus is the ability to move around.
Man, that's John Elway, and I thoroughly agree. Every time I watch a college game in all these playoffs, I'm seeing these guys, some of these quarterbacks look great. I'm like, all right, but how will they do in the pocket? We have no idea. Like, every time, every single guy, we just don't know which of them are going to be able to adjust and figure it out and who will not.
It makes the Mendoza thing kind of interesting because he's a throwback that way. Like, he's a pocket guy. He can move, but he's not a running guy.
You know who else was like that in college? Is Drake May. Drake May was more of a pocket guy who can move. That was that thing.
But I mean, so was Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Like,
yeah, it's true.
He was, but when you have the wide receivers that were playing at Ohio State, those windows don't have to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can make throws and those guys are going to go and get it. And they were beating their defenders the way that the Bears were struggling with Amon-Ra St. Brown on Sunday. So. You don't know, but that's kind of where the pressure is. Like, watching, I get romantic about some of this stuff. I know you do too. Like, when the old heads come out and they see themselves.
Oh, it's cool.
In the new school guys.
Yeah, and when they have an open mind and they're not like, well, he can't be me. He can't possibly be me.
I think Steve Young is the absolute, like, god of that.
It's because he's had a million different comps thrown at him.
And he loves it. Like, he loves to talk about the guys that are mobile and what it is that their quarterback lives are in the NFL. And those of us who grew up watching John Elway and being like, wow, like, that guy's everything.
Yeah, I bristled at first because Elway was great. And Elway, you know who used to sit in this studio has always said that John Elway is his favorite quarterback of all time.
Marshall Harris.
No.
Terry?
Terry Bowers. That was Terry's guy, was Elway. Should ask him why. I don't know, but like Elway was always his guy. I remember tons of conversations about the greatest of all time, and he'd always say Elway, and he would say, I know the numbers don't necessarily say so, but that was my guy.
Here's where I'll continue the comp with Caleb and John Elway. There was an electricity to the way that John Elway played quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was tough. Like, if he had to, he could run you over. But he would sometimes run away from you. And sometimes they would roll the pocket, and he would throw the ball 55 yards down the field. Sound like anyone you've been watching play quarterback?
Yeah, it's true. And Elway believed he was the baddest MF-er on the field.
Yes.
He believed it to his core.
You mean like good arrogance?
Here's Caleb Williams from today talking about his confidence and where it comes from.
All the big games the same to me. It doesn't matter if it was high school for me, whether it was college or anything like that, whether it was a game that's going to get us into the playoffs. I think the mindset of it just changes a little bit because you know you don't have another game if you go out there and you don't accomplish the goal.
Didn't you tell us once that you were nervous one day ever?
One time. It was my first game versus Gilman at their place in high school. And then after that, it was all good.
How are you able to not
be? I think it's just the trust in myself, the belief in myself, a little bit of that arrogant confidence on the football field. The trust and belief in who I have protecting me, the trust and belief in who I have calling the game, and then the trust and belief in who I have on the outside and in the backfield.
Man, that's a lot of things coming together. finally, because he says it all. He says trust and belief in who he has calling the game. I think about him saying, I have the best coach in the world in terms of Ben Johnson a couple weeks ago. He believes that now.
Wore his jersey walking into the game last week.
Had it made. It's a badass move. Who he believes in his talent, but he's always believed in himself.
You're damn right he has.
He's got that arrogance. For him, I'm glad he said it out loud. I mean, we all know it's been there. We've always heard that it's been there.
And you, I think, rightly have kind of been like, look, this might be a little bit of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
All last year.
And that's totally okay.
Of course it is. He's a young dude in his 20s trying to stand up in front of grown men and lead.
And that position in particular lends itself to automatic leadership. And so if it's not already in you, you've got to figure out how to get there. And if that means that you have to walk with a little bit of arrogance into that building so that people understand you came here to do a job and you want to do it.
Can I tell you something that's so cool that I read in Courtney Cronin's piece about the relationship between Ben and Caleb? And remember how we used to hear that Bill Belichick would deal with Tom Brady? Remember that mm-hmm. he would call him out in front of everybody? Remember that? I remember hearing that and being like, wow, that's interesting. He would call him out in front of everybody. And if he can say that to them, huh? Here's JT Barrett in Courtney Cronin's piece today on ESPN. Quote, I've been to places where sometimes the quarterback is coached more in the meeting room, where it's just him and the position coach or him and the play caller. But for us, everybody hears it when Caleb gets criticized and we get it corrected right then and there. That's what Ben does. And so
I do think there's a fine line to it,
though. Oh, man.
And
maybe in the future it will be.
Yes, because that was one of the things that Tom Brady was like, you know what I've had just about enough of? You telling me what's going on.
Yeah, after they won 7 Super Bowls.
Yes. And then Tom was like, you can go yell at somebody else.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go down here with a coach who is going to hold me accountable.
But doesn't yell at me.
But isn't going to be treating me like
sure,
that.
But
won a Super Bowl and was like, let me show you my junk.
Right, okay. but that's, first of all, don't you think Ben has a little more social awareness than Bill Belichick?
100%.
And also, we'll deal with that 7 Super Bowls from
now. No, I'm worried about it, dude. I'm so worried about that.
What is it going to be like after the 5th Super Bowl? Their relationship.
Look, on the Baby T and Speak show.
BTS.
After that 4th Super Bowl that the Bears win.
Yeah.
I'm sure Baby T will get into some of that stuff and try to figure out what the hell's going on with their relationship.
Me and Baby T already went ahead and took a promo picture.
I saw it. It was awesome.
Did you post it, Alex? Please.
I'll post it right now.
Go ahead and tweet that. Yeah, we already went ahead and took a promo shot. He was making a point, and I was angry because he was pushing me around through my own material. You know what I mean?
Oh, not again.
I can just see it in the Sun Times tomorrow. Holmes finally replaced by Baby T.
It's about time.
Let's
see if Spiegel can make this one work.
On ITC, inside a clubhouse.
No.
I call it that for short.
BTS.
That's good, Tyler. That's good. ITC.
Yeah, BTS. Beat the spread, right? Or
no,
beat the streak.
No.
Excuse me. No, or it's a Korean band, right? BTS?
I don't know.
Yeah.
A K-pop band?
Yeah, it's a K-pop band. Yeah. Huge K-pop band. But BTS is going to be Baby T and Speaks is going to take over.
I like it.
And push me around through my stuff.
Yeah, man. With weekly hits from Barry Rosen. Against his will. You know what? I did have the thought.
Why are you calling me?
I did have the thought today of,
yeah,
is Barry watching the Bears?
Oh, dude, I had that thought too. You know why? Here's the other reason I had that thought. Because I have some unbelievable memories with Barry Rosner at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
Perfect.
And that's where we are going to be on Friday. Join the Score and Circus Sports Illinois this Friday at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Our show will be live there from 2 to 6 p.m. for playoff football talk as Chicago prepares for another rematch against Green Bay. Plus, you can win Chicago sports tickets from Circus Sports Illinois. That's this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
When we come back, let's talk about Tyreek Stevenson. And let's also update you on something that happened about an hour ago on this show. You know, the Wayne Larrabee thing. We have an update that we need to share next here on The Score.
Tyreek Stevenson didn't play at all yesterday. That's obviously a change. What prompted that?
We felt good about where Shawnee and where Jalen were, and we wanted those two guys to take the bulk of the snaps.
That was the answer that didn't pass the smell test for a lot of people yesterday from Ben Johnson about Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah, it makes you wonder like what's going on, if this is a situation of a player maybe not getting it or maybe not having the best practice habits. Like there's a lot to consider, and Tyreek himself has talked about how he's felt like this coaching staff has been really supportive of this journey.
Yes.
That he's gone on since last year against Washington.
He's a mercurial personality who admitted that he takes some focus medicine earlier in the year.
Yeah, he talked about it.
Admitted that he had to go to a coach earlier in the year and said, would you explain this?
Can you simplify this for me?
So Tyreek's been through a lot, and we were hoping this was a big year of growth for him. But is it possible it's gone the other direction? This is Brad Biggs on our morning show with Mully and Haw this morning, having some very interesting conversation. I think Mully asking a very understandable question in the midst.
My guess is that Nick McCloud would be the next man up. I think they're going to see if they can possibly squeeze, you know, any and everything they can get out of Kyler Gordon in this spot. As far as Tyreek Stevenson, I mean, a ton of questions about why did Tyreek Stevenson not play on Sunday, which is a little bit of a departure from, I think, the week before at San Francisco. Why isn't Jalen Johnson playing more? You know, like Johnson got the entire first half of that game at Levi's Stadium, and then Tyreek opened the third quarter, and I think Tyreek got 18 snaps against the 49ers.
His answer didn't pass the smell test. It didn't. It wasn't that he didn't play enough. It's that he didn't play at all.
But his snap count had been, like, they were ramping Jalen up, and as they ramped him up, Jalen's numbers were going down. So, listen.
Doesn't seem right, Brad. You know it. It doesn't seem right.
Okay. It may seem a little off, Dave, but Tyreek's been on the field an awful lot this season. He's logged close to 600 snaps for a defense that is 29th in yards allowed.
You know, I can't help but ask the question, Brad. Do you know that Tyreek, who is kind of a high maintenance guy, let's just be honest about it, is he unhappy with his playing time, and is that why he didn't play at all in that game last week?
You know what? I have no idea. I just know that his playing time had been trending kind of downward a little bit, and I think he's smart enough to be able to read the room there, especially with them having the success as a team that they've had this season. So I'd be a little surprised if this was something that was related to that. I really would. Shocked, no, but probably a little bit surprised. So we'll have to see.
Really good football conversation from three guys that spent, God, probably close to 70 years covering the Bears between those three guys.
Yeah, and I think Mully asking the understandable question about, because we've seen it a ton of times, guys upset about the playing time, bitches about it. Okay, well, don't play at all then. Thank you.
Yeah, but not playing at all is usually a guy being deactivated, but maybe you can't because you've got guys with ailments that are out there playing in your defensive backfield. Like, guys aren't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, the injury report is out, Speed.
Yeah, it's a very important injury report. There's some key people that we need to know about. Stay with the secondary. Kyler Gordon took part today?
He did. He was limited in practice today.
Okay.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson did not practice because he is in concussion protocol. Mm. And I was surprised to see that Joe Tryon-Shoyinka is also in concussion protocol. He's not a starter, but
he's been used.
He's been used a lot. Like that's become a more important guy than maybe you were thinking.
How about the offensive lineman who was a surprising
elevation
this morning?
Braxton Jones was a full participant in practice today.
Braxton Jones, a name that you, the Bears fan, have not thought about in quite some time.
Rome Odunze was limited too.
Oh, okay.
By the way.
All right. So, and Rome, we believe that Rome is coming back. That's what Caleb said, flat out. It'll be great to have him back. So, boy.
Well, he was jumping up and down, though, on the sidelines.
I was worried about him,
every
too.
Every week we watch him, you know, he's cheerleading on the sidelines, which I love that. I love, you know, bringing the energy to the sidelines to your guys. But when you got a bad foot and you're hopping up and down constantly.
How about the time when the coach took his shirt off? And everybody was celebrating, and they showed you everybody celebrating, and there was one guy in there who jumped up and then ran away out of the frame. Wasn't that when it was, Alex? They did that Rome jumped up.
Where he punched through the ceiling, that one?
Yeah.
There were some people who tried to connect those dots between the injury and the celebration.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I don't know who those people were, but I'm giving them oxygen. I'm giving them oxygen right now.
You are?
Yeah, I guess so. So that's interesting. Braxton Jones, God. So look. I keep thinking about what Matt Bowen said.
Full participant.
When we asked Matt Bowen about what he would do in the secondary with all that mix, all those different people, and he said, tell you what, I'd be really quick to make changes.
I don't think he's wrong.
So Saturday night, you see somebody make a mistake. You're like, all right, let me try this guy. Maybe this guy doesn't have it. I need somebody mentally sharp. Who's going to cover for me? Let's see.
It would be great if you could get two full participations from Kyler before Saturday.
Yeah.
The idea that Braxton had a full participation today, because today's technically their walkthrough, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's approximated, yeah. Hey, man. And if there's any truth to what Mully guessed at, if there's any chip on your shoulder, Dennis Allen or Al Harris, about Tyreek Stevenson, might need to get over that if that guy could be useful for you on Saturday night.
I agree. All right, we have dissected the Lions game every possible way that we can.
We're done?
We're done.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, Ben Johnson, you know what we're going to do next? We're going to be there with you, baby. Turning the page. Turn the page is next on the score.
We're quickly turning the page here. You know, we're turning the page, though. We're quickly turning that page.